Good.
We got a problem?
No,
oh, hello. That's better. Okay. So I wanted to just say that, how long have you been here, Brian?
5.5 years.
5.5 years. Wow, it goes quickly. Probably 6 years ago at the Hilltop Church of Christ, where I've been the preacher for 18 years, which is in El Segundo, right by LAX Airport. Literally, you could throw a stone and hit the runway. So 6 years ago, we wanted to hire Brian, and he chose you over us. So, no, don't clap. That's not, no, that's good. Actually, it is great. I'm so excited to see the ministry here, to get to know some of you and to see God's hand and how God's hand's moving in this place. And Brian's just got such a good heart. Take care of him. Take care of his family. Expect the best from Brian and pay the best to Brian, because you want to keep him. You don't want to lose him. So thanks for inviting me to come and share. Again, 18 years at the Hilltop Church of Christ in El Segundo. And when my family arrived at El Segundo, my daughter was in diapers. My son was 5 years old. And on a good Sunday, the attendance was 30 at the church. That's on a good Sunday. And Becky and I and the leadership talked. We really had no clue what God was calling us to do. We didn't know, how God, do you want to grow a church? How, God, do you want to work through us? And we have grown from 30 to over 300 people in attendance based on one principle that God put on our hearts very early on, which was to be the most welcoming church on the planet. And we are still learning and trying to continue to grow in being a church that just says welcome. Not just welcome to each other, not welcome to people we know, but welcome to the guest. Welcome to the stranger that comes to this church for the very first time. Can you put yourself back into a place where you walked into a church not knowing anybody for the first time? And what made you feel welcome, or what, you know, made you feel a little uncomfortable? Just kind of go there in your mind for a little bit. Go way back. You're coming to a church. You don't know anybody. You're walking through the doors. It's day number one. Imagine that you pull into the lot. Let's say here, you park in this lot. And before you even get out of your car, as you pull into the lot, there's a couple people out there, and they give you a warm smile, and they wave to you. You don't know them, but they act like they know you. They wave at you. You get out of your car, and before you walk in to, say, the classroom or the guest area there, or if you're coming from this lot over here, before you come into the foyer, outside, somebody greets you before you walk into that door. They shake your hand. They say, hello, my name is such and such. I'm so glad that you've come to worship with us today. Come on in. They walk in with you, and they introduce you in the foyer area here to several other people, and they say, we're so glad that you came to worship with the Glendale Church of Christ. You're going to love it here. Come on in. They walk in. You walk into that auditorium, these doors here. And before you sit down, people just smile at you. Nobody walks by you looking at the ground. They all look you right in the eye. They just give a smile and they say, welcome. So glad you're here. You sit down. The praise team starts singing. The congregation starts singing. And I know from this morning, this is fantastic. Good job. The singing, I just feel like you're singing with your hearts this morning. It is fantastic. It's very uplifting. So I know you're going to experience that the first time you come in. The singing's wonderful. Brian gets up. He preaches from the Word. And I know he does an amazing job from the pulpit. I love Brian because he speaks from his heart. He's very authentic. He's very creative with his mind. And so you just love the preaching, the singing, the communion. You get up afterwards, church's worship is over, and you can't even get to that back door because people are coming up to you, and they're just saying, hi, I'm so nice to, have we met? I don't think we've met. And you just feel so loved. You walk out through the foyer, people say, hey, can you grab some lunch with us today? I'd love to take you to lunch, get to know you better. You can't because you got plans that afternoon. So you get back into your car. You get in, you start to drive out, people wave, and they say, thank you so much, you can just tell. Within 2 days, you get a note from Brian, handwritten, saying, I am so glad you came to worship with us today. Let me tell you a little bit about our church. You got a little flyer in there, and you read. There's some things that you're interested in. Within a week, within 2 weeks, there's tremendous follow-up, and you just say, this is my family. This is it. Some of you I talked with this morning had that experience, and you just, from day one, you just felt so welcome in this place. When I speak at churches all across the nation on being welcoming churches, and I ask them, you know, what's the greatest quality about this church? 90% of them say, we are friendly, and we are welcoming. But what determines whether you're a welcoming church or not is not the people that are going to your church, it's the first-time guests. They determine whether you are truly a welcoming church. Do they feel welcome in this place? I told you we didn't have a clue what God was calling us to do at the Hilltop Church of Christ. That's really the fact. I mean, we were just so small, and we were in a building. Could you imagine, you know, 30 people in a building like this? It just seems like, wow, something's going wrong. What's happened? What's happened? And then guests would walk in and, you know, see there's all these, you know, pews that are open. And so we said, God, what do you want us to do? And he put, be a welcoming church within probably 2 weeks. And the passage that struck us was found in the Gospel of John, chapter 8. And it's the story, some of you know the story well. It's the woman who was caught in adultery. Do you remember that? John chapter 8, 1 through 11. She was caught in the act of adultery. That means she was in bed at that moment with someone that was not her husband. And they drag her out, half naked, haul her out of the house, throw her at the feet of Jesus, and say, Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. What should we do with her? Of course, if you've read that story, you know they were trying to trap Jesus, right? They're also using this woman as a pawn. Could you imagine being this woman, the humiliation? But not just the humiliation. You are afraid for your life because the law said that you could be stoned for committing adultery. They throw her at the feet of Jesus. A crowd is gathered. A mob is there. Can you just imagine? She's in fear for her life, and she's laying there. And then Jesus draws a line in the sand. And he says, so that everybody could hear, the older people that have gathered in the back, let he who is without sin cast the first stone at her. Jesus was so wise, so loving. He knew what to say in that moment. I would have panicked. And then the Bible says that stones start dropping. And you can hear one stone and another stone and another stone. They are not being thrown at this woman. They are being dropped because, starting with the oldest people who had sinned, they knew about the sin in their life. They had to go away because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So they all leave, and Jesus is left standing alone with this woman. And she's probably still just can't even catch her breath. Tears flowing down her face. She's humiliated. And he says, woman, has no one condemned, where are they? Has no one condemned you? And she says, no one, Lord. And Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. Go and leave your life of sin. That verse is what struck our hearts and gave us a vision for being a church that accepts people where they are while helping each other accept where God wants us to be. Jesus accepted her in her sin. In that sin, he accepted her right where she was. But then he also gave her a vision, God's vision for her life, by encouraging her to accept where God wanted her to be. It said, leave your life of sin. Neither do I condemn you. Leave your life of sin. So we said, based on that, God's calling us to be a welcoming, accepting place. And if you have that, you put that on your heart, God is going to test you in that. I promise you, he tested us very quickly. Within 3 to 4 weeks of me being at the Hilltop Church, I got a call from a young lady named Lori Guerin. She calls me on the phone, never been to church, never been to El Segundo Church at all, and she starts talking. She can't even get a sentence out of her mouth because she just starts weeping uncontrollably, and she's just crying over the phone. And I say, Lori, I can't understand. Could you come in and let's pray? I'd love to just pray with you. I can tell you're upset about something. She comes in, I'll never forget, sits in my office, sits down across from me, totally just humiliated, beaten by life. She says, Pastor, she called me Pastor. She says, Pastor, I have been addicted to methamphetamines for most of my life. I have a 5-year-old girl named Miranda, and I feel like I'm going to lose my daughter. I've been arrested. I've been in jail. I've got to kick this. I need God's help to get over this addiction that I am wrestling with. And I said, Lord, you've come to the right place. So we sat down and we began to study and we talked and I taught her about Jesus. Probably, I'd say just 2 to 3 weeks after that, we'd met just a couple times. I'm up at Pepperdine University playing basketball with some good friends of mine, Scott Lambert, who some of you know, and we were playing basketball at Pepperdine, and I got this page on my pager. We used to wear these things called pagers, and we didn't have cell phones, and they would beep. And then you were supposed to look, and you'd get that number, and you'd call. So I got this number on my pager. I didn't recognize the number that was there, but I felt like I needed to call it. So I went, I got a phone, and I called this number. And it was the Los Angeles Police Department. And they said, Mr. Reed, we have arrested a young lady named Lori Guerin. She's going to prison for a long time. This is not her first arrest. She's been caught with methamphetamines. She's been caught with drug paraphernalia. The reason we are calling you is that she would like to turn custody of her 5-year-old girl over to you. I had met her just very recently. Only a couple times had we engaged, and I was the only person she trusted enough to turn her daughter Miranda over to. I hopped in my car. I said, I'll be right there. I called my wife on the way. I said, Becky, we're going to have another child. She says, what? I explained the situation to her. She said, well, sure. Oh, never forget. It's so hard getting to the jail and picking up Miranda from the police. And her beautiful brown eyes were just filled with pools of water and tears. She was scared to death. Lori was scared to death. I put her in our car and I began to take her home. I said, Miranda, we're going to be your family now. And I just want you to know, we're going to love you. We're going to welcome you as our own little girl. And we drove home that day. And to make a long story short, within a few weeks, on a technicality, I think by God's grace, Lori got out of prison, was back united with her daughter, and we began really continuing to study about Jesus Christ. She became a Christian. Probably within 3 or 4 months, she was still wrestling with addiction. It's so hard to stop. And yet she needed Jesus. She was baptized into Christ. She became, over the year, an on-fire Christian, saved in a relationship with Jesus. And her daughter plugged in to our youth group. But here's what God was doing. Would our church of 30 people be willing to welcome Lori? But not only would we be welcome Lori, would we welcome Lori's friends? Because the only network she had was drug addicts. She had cut herself off completely from all her family, from all of her friends that didn't do drugs. All she knew was drug addicts, and she's on fire for the Lord. And so she starts bringing all of her drug addicts to church. You got to get this picture. Within, I'd say, a year to 18 months, we had 25 Church of Christ squared people, born, raised, baptized in the Church of Christ, right? And we had 25 recovering addicts. Church was interesting, very interesting. God was saying, are you truly going to welcome everyone in this church? Not people that just look like you or smell like you or talk like you or do the things you like. Are you willing to welcome everyone? You say you're going to be a welcoming church. God tested us in that. Oh, church was fascinating because these guys and these gals, they've got tattoos everywhere. They've got, you know, earrings and beads in their face and hanging out their nose. I mean, half of the people looked like they'd fallen down a flight of stairs with an open tackle box. That was it. Like lures just hanging everywhere. And some of these people had been in prison more than they had been out of prison. And so they would sit, and oh, I just remember our elderly ladies, our gray-haired people would come, and they'd just snuggle with Jerry Beasley, this big, tough, you know, guy, and they'd pat him on the back. Welcome, I'm so glad God brought you here. You know, and I'd just be like, okay, don't say a word, because I know what words would come out of these people's mouths, the way that they talk, you know. But we welcomed them. We loved them, and God did amazing things. That was God's vision for us. God wants us to be a welcoming, loving place. He wants us to accept people where they are while helping each other accept. That's the journey we're on, where God wants us to be. Listen to this value that God lays out in Scripture of being a welcoming place. Turn to Leviticus chapter 3. Leviticus chapter 3. If you haven't been in Leviticus lately, it's the third book of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Did I say chapter 3? I meant 19. Chapter 19, Leviticus 19, verse 33. I want you to see this passage here because it's so very important. God says, verse 33, when an alien lives with you in your land, do not mistreat him. Another translation, perhaps your translation, New King James Version, New American Standard says, when a stranger is in your midst, when a stranger comes among you, do not mistreat them. The stranger living with you must be treated as one of your native born. Love him as yourself, for you were strangers in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Now, when the Bible or God says, I am the Lord your God, what he's saying is, pay attention to this. God's saying, this is important. When you have a stranger that comes into this church, that comes into this family, you treat them as one of your very own people. You love them as you love yourself. And the reason for that is you need to remember you were a stranger once yourself. Not only were you alienated from God, you were alienated from the community, from the family. And so when someone that comes to this place that has no church background, 20, 30 years they haven't been in church, they come here, they need to be welcomed and felt like they are part of the family. They are a part of the family, they just don't know it yet. So God says, welcome them, treat them as one of your own people. Thus says the Lord your God. Jesus put it this way. Jesus said, remember when Jesus was asked what the most important commandment is? What's the most important commandment? And Jesus didn't say, well, the Bible is all equivalent. The Bible is all exactly the same. He didn't say that. There are some things in God's word that are more important than other things. How do we know that? Jesus said. He didn't just say, read it all. He said, this is the most important thing. If you get anything, Jesus says, you better get this. You want to know the bullseye of a church? This is the bullseye. This is where it starts. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. But he didn't stop there. He said, the second is this. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's the most important thing. I've been preaching through the Sermon on the Mount. You've been in a little bit in the Sermon on the Mount as well, right? Yeah, I saw on your YouTube or website. And the Sermon on the Mount is so key. For 3 months, we've been looking at what does it mean to live as a child of God? The Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 through 7. It is so key for what the kingdom of God looks like. You want to be a child of God, a citizen of God? This is the way that you are to live your life. And in chapter 5, that's where Jesus sort of starts out. He gets to the end of chapter 5, and I have always focused on a verse, verse 48 of Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus says, he's talking about how this high standard of living, of loving people, of you know, not being angry, not lusting, not coveting things. And then he gets to the end of this section, and Jesus says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And that verse just, I kind of throw up my hands. What are you talking about, Jesus? Because I know myself. I am so far from perfect. Yet Jesus says, not only be perfect, he says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So I've always focused on that verse. But right above that, verse 47, is something that's also very important. If you want to be a child of God and live as a child of God, Jesus says, to greet the stranger. Greet the people that you don't know. Welcome people that you don't know. If you welcome people you know, Jesus says, anybody can do that. Who do you talk to first when you come to church? Well, you come talk to the people you're most comfortable with. Jesus says, even non-Christians, pagans, they can greet people that they know. But what defines the character of your heart and your love for your neighbors, Jesus says, is greet people that you don't know. Welcome them. Welcome them to this body. Welcome them to this church. That's what God wants you to do. I believe without a doubt, this church is growing. This church has new people who are here. This church has people that have been here for 10, 20, 30 years who have loved and hung in and stood by this church. Great things are happening. You are welcoming, but you can be even more welcoming. There's some things that I'm going to tell you you can do, very practical things that you can do on the 14th of June. And I want every single person to show up because God wants for you to be a welcoming church, for it to be a part of your DNA, for it to be a part of your heart. And if you do that, God will test you in that. So remember I said that God called us to accept people where they are while helping each other accept where God wants us to be. A shift took place over probably the last 5 years of our vision at our church, because to accept people where they are is to receive people. In other words, what we're saying is, if you come to our church, we will accept you. If you drive onto our lot and walk through those doors, then we will accept you. But what God wants is for us to live welcoming lives Monday through Saturday. It's not just a Sunday thing. God wants us to go out and greet the stranger, welcome them into our lives, show them the light and the love of God, and then they will see Christ in us and want to come to this place. So welcoming them out there was the shift that took place, and I had to wrestle with that in my heart, because all I had been talking about is how we can, you know, when they get here, how we can welcome them and love them and get to know them. But now God was calling the church to go out and be welcoming. And so I said, all right, I got to live this out. If I'm going to preach this, I got to live this out. And so on Fridays, I like to go golfing. And usually I'd call up my best friends, my preacher friends, Andy Wall and Scott Lambert. And we'd get together and I'd be comfortable with them. We'd go golfing. This Friday, I said, God, I'm not going to do that. I said, God, you're calling me to be a welcoming person. So I'm just going to show up at the golf course and I'm going to see what you do, Lord. So I remember parking in the lot, closing my eyes and say, all right, God, I'm here, Lord. Help me to be welcoming with whoever you want me to meet today. I got my golf clubs. I went up to the tee. First I go to the starter and I pay my fee. He says, who are you with? I said, I'm by myself. Can you just hook me up with some people? He said, sure, there's some people teeing off right now. Go on up there and introduce yourself to them. So I get my clubs. I pay my fee. I get up to the first tee. As I'm walking up, there's just this big, huge, tough, rough-looking guy. Tattoos are up and down his arms again, and I'm thinking, okay. And so I say, hi, I'm John. And this guy just immediately, I don't think he could say two or three words without cussing. I mean, it was like a sailor, worse than a sailor. He's like, hey, man, blankety blank, I'm so glad you're here. And I'm like, well, I'm going to walk today. And he's like, no, you're not getting my blankety cart. You're going with me. All right. So I get in the cart. You know, we tee off. He's like, oh, man, you stink. That was horrible. We start going down that first tee, and we get to the second hole again. He's starting already to tell me how he's angry. Can you just tell if people are angry with life? You could see it on their face. I could tell this guy has been hurt. And so we're driving down, we get to the second hole, and he pulls out a joint, and he starts smoking pot. Now, when I go out like this, I don't just tell people I'm a preacher, by the way, all right? I kind of want to let my light shine and let God work as God works, so I don't even say I'm a Christian, all right? So he's like, here, takes a hit, you want some pot? I'm like, no, not today. I mean, I didn't know what to say. So we get to the third hole, fourth hole, we're playing. We get through 18 holes. Coming in to the 18th hole, this guy, he's a brawler. He's a bar, gets in fight. He had just recently been in a fight and a brawl in a bar. Just angry man. We get to coming up to the last hole, and he's like, hey, you are my new blanking buddy. Do you want to go golfing with me next week? And I'm like, thinking no, but I say, Lord, is this what you're doing, God? Really? Are you doing this to me? It is. And so I say, sure, I'd love to golf with you next Friday. So I set another time and go back to church that Sunday, and I grab an elder and I grab a deacon, and I say, y'all are going with me. I need reinforcements. And I said, this guy's a little rough around the edges. I got to tell you that. That would be a lie. He's not a little rough around the edges. But so I remember Wyatt Trapp, Russ Albright, they go with me. And we get, this is the following Friday now. So we tee off, we play the first hole, we get to the second hole, and something happens. At the end of the second hole, he asked me a question. Do you know what it is? What do you do? That's right. What do you do for a living? I said, well, I'm a minister. I have never seen a reaction like this in my life. Now, I am driving the cart, and Greg's his name. Greg starts violently shaking, and he's going, oh, he falls out of the cart, hits the ground. He's like, I was smoking pot. He gets back into the cart. Third hole, silence, awkward silence, not a word. We get to the end of the third hole. It's hard for me to hold it together when I talk about that. Forgive me, but he says, I got to tell you something. You're an answer to prayer. I said, what are you talking about? He says, when I was 8 years old, my mother died in my arms from a drug overdose. And at that moment, I cursed God and told him I would hate him and live against him the rest of my life. 3 weeks ago, I was arrested with a DUI, and they made me go to AA. And at AA, they're talking about some higher power that I need to get to know. Last Friday, when I got up, I got in the shower. And as I was showering, I said, God, I don't know if you're real. I don't know if you even exist. God, I don't know if you're there. But if you are, could you please send someone into my life today? That was the day I went golfing with Greg. God had orchestrated this. So now came the test. Would our church welcome Greg? He came that Sunday. He pulls into the lot. He gets there. He gets out of his car, and he starts smoking a cigarette. Not pot. He's smoking a cigarette. He's nervous. He gets back into his car. He starts to pull out. He pulls back in. I'm watching this. He gets out of his car again, nervously, sweating. Three times he does that. And finally, I grab people from our guest relations team and I say, get out there, get him in here. He comes in, he sits in the back row, and I can see him. Sits right about over here. We sing a couple songs. On the second song, this rough, tough plumber starts weeping. Weeping uncontrollably. A couple of our ladies go up and, like they do, sit by him and pat him and say, it's going to be okay. He cries the entire worship. Shortly after that, Greg and I started a study. Greg is baptized into Christ. He brings his live-in girlfriend, who's baptized into Christ. Her son is baptized into Christ. And God is moving. God is alive. God is active. Here's what I really want you to know. If we become a welcoming place, if Glendale says we're going to do our best, every person to be more welcoming, then God is going to move in powerful, amazing, and unexpected ways, and you are going to absolutely bloom as a church. You are going to grow like you've conversion growth, not just transfer growth. Transfer growth is great, but I'm talking conversion growth. 25 baptisms in 18 months, all recovering addicts. That was God's plan. That was God's answer to our prayer. And we've really been growing ever since. We had a little struggle when the recession hit. A lot of people moving out of town. But now, the first 4 or 5 months of this year, we've had more conversions than we've had in any period that long that I've been at the Hilltop Church. God's moving in such powerful ways. Last Sunday, we baptized somebody in the ocean. That is our baptistry, the Pacific Ocean. So if we do this, if we all say we are going to have this godly characteristic of being welcoming, then watch out. God will answer that. He will blow you away with His love and His grace in this place right here. I want you to watch a little clip And then I'll lead us in a prayer, and we'll finish the worship.
Cousin Jason, man, what's love? What's love?
All right, boys, open up.
It's a story of Antoine Fisher. He, at a very young age, was, I think as a baby, his mom realized that she couldn't raise him, and she put him into a foster home, and he went through multiple foster homes where he was abused, sexually abused, over and over and over again. He went and then went into the Navy. And when he was in the Navy, it was placed on his heart that he needed to get to know his real family. He wanted to try to find them. And so that became a quest of his life to find his family. And that's when he finds his family at the very end. For the first time, he meets his blood relatives. That's a picture of church. That the banquet table, God says, is laid out. The feast is before us. And there are people who have never shared in that feast, never had a family, that are children of God and just don't know it. And God wants us to welcome them and to love them and to embrace them and say, welcome to the family. Welcome to Christ's community. Welcome home. Because know it or not, you're surrounded by thousands of people who are desperate for Jesus Christ. And this is their home. And they just don't know it yet. Jesus lived this value out. He comes to a foreign place. He's born as a child, growing up knowing the cross is before him. And he spreads out his arms and his hands on the cross to pay the price for our sins. And Jesus says, welcome. Welcome back to my Father. I'm paying the price for your sins. I love you that much. Welcome home. And he gave his life for that. You know, I want to encourage you this morning. If you have never come back into the home of God, the family of God, think about that. Pray about that. I know Brian would love to study with you about becoming a member of the family, the best family ever in existence, God's family, by putting your trust in Jesus, by being buried in baptism and welcomed into the family. Thank you for having me and being such a welcoming place. I look forward to the 14th, and we're going to have fun and share more stories and really look at not just the why that we've seen this morning, but the practical steps of how. And I hope you can make it. Let's pray. Dear God, we don't have words, Lord, to say thank you enough for being the Father who runs to us when we are far away, who's always looking and waiting for us to come back into a relationship with you, God, so you can bless us and love us and give us purpose in life. Thank you for opening your arms and saying, come home, child, come home, and welcoming us back into your family. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you for what you are doing, what you've been doing, and what you are going to do through the Glendale Church of Christ, God. May your Spirit move powerfully. May the presence of your Son, Jesus Christ, be felt in this place and felt outside of this place through your church and in our lives, God. And may we welcome people because, God, you have welcomed us. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.